I was so excited and thrilled to see this group of young people praise and worship God. I mean, you can sing so many different kind of songs, and there's not a better song than to give glory to God, because He is worthy, and He's worthy of our praise. When there's a new movie coming out, and you may be excited, maybe it's like a Star Wars, and this movie came out, and you're going to the theater, and there's, you know, maybe some commercials, and the movie just about to start, and you're kind of waiting for the thrilled moment when it's gonna begin. You are excited. So we're coming to the Lord when we're just about to open His Word. We have to be excited, as we would be excited, but a lot more to be excited when we open in God's Scriptures, because He's gonna be speaking to us. He's gonna say something. He's gonna fill us with His Holy Word. So, today we're talking about humility, or what does it mean to be humble before God? And kind of the topic of the message is give up. Normally people say don't give up, never give up, but there are some things that we do have to give up in order to be close with God, like our pride. People are prideful. People want to be important. They want to make sure that they like, especially at different workplaces, that everybody knows who they are, and sometimes they would say, "Well, didn't I tell you that? Like, next time, ask for my advice. You should have listened to me." So people wanna, you know, have that status of importance. But let's read Matthew 23, verse 12, and it's gonna be kind of our key word, key verse. "But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is, God gives this kind of easy formula for us. And one point is, only God can truly exalt someone. If you try to kind of raise yourself up a little bit higher, I mean, that's not going to work for long. Now, people who are humble, they care less, actually, if they are being exalted. And they recognize that everything that they are, what they have, or what they have become, it comes from God. So what am I have to do with it? If, you know, they recognize that, and they are not going to say, "Look how much I have accomplished, you know, under my supervision, we have accomplished all these kind of accomplishments, and, you know, under my leadership." But God can give you the leadership, but you have to recognize who stands behind that leadership. And as long as God is pleased with them, they're good. Like, I don't have to make sure I'm pleasing everybody. As long as I'm pleasing God, that's all that matters for me. So, life of a humble person, is it a life or a winner, or is it a life or of a loser? Like, from a God standpoint, it's a life of a winner, but from the world standpoint, it's a life of a loser. And now we have to kind of decide on which side we are. Now, I have privilege to work with kids, but sometimes it can be challenging. You know, there are some kids who are, when you say no to them, they understand, okay, no, I cannot do that, and they're kind of okay with that. But there's some kids, they don't believe in no. Or they think it's only temporarily no. If I will press on and push on, like, eventually I will get to yes. They are disobedient. They have a spirit of disobedience. And if I'm in charge, they have to submit to me. That's how it works. And after they submit, then I can start blessing them, right? When people submit, then the time of blessing comes. And they can kind of remind us that sometimes that's how we are with God. We're trying to force on our personal agenda. We tell us what God needs to do for us. Or sometimes we even can be demanding. This is, you can say, well, Lord, this is how I see. Just do as I want. But we have to remember, and we have to humble ourselves, because He is the Creator and we are creation. Isaiah 64:8, it says, "But now, O Lord, You are our Father, and we are the clay." So I have a little bit of Play-Doh. "We are the clay, You are the potter, we are all the work of Your hand." And Isaiah 45:9 says, "What sorrow waits for those who argue with Creator? Does the clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it?" Saying, let's imagine this is clay and it's saying, "Stop! You're doing it wrong." Or does the pot exclaim, "How clumsy can you be? But who are you, O man?" It's Romans 9:20-21. "But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molder say to its molder, 'Why have you made me like this?'" He is God. He can do whatever He wants. You know, sometimes, and verse 21st, "Has the potter the right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for the honorable use and another for dishonorable use?" You know, sometimes God gives power. One person, He gives more power. Another person, He gives just a little bit of power. But He's God. He decides. That's His part. That's not of your concern. I want to just please God of what He wants. Now, when the clay first comes from the ground, you cannot do anything with it, because it needs to be cleaned. It needs to be, you have to add some water to it. You have to knead it well, and it can be a long process. Now, if the clay is too dry, then you know, whatever you're making, it's just going to crumble, it's going to fall apart. But if it's too wet, then whatever you're making, it's going to sag. So it needs to be exactly perfect. So, and God will do His work in order to make us perfect, because we have to submit. Let's imagine this. If you drive a car, you want your car to submit to you, right? If you're planning to stop, you expect it, push on the brake, plan to stop it. If you turn it right or left, you make, car has to submit to you. Imagine you're driving, you need to stop, and it just keeps on going. Or you have to turn left, it turns right. Or when you need to go, it silently stops. Who needs that car? Nobody needs that car. And same thing, like, we have Craig here. Craig and Steve, like, if you would hire somebody, let's say a company hires somebody, an electrician, and you have the standards how the job needs to be done, but the electrician does the job how he said, "Well, I used to be doing it all my life, and it works just fine." Would that settle with you? So he has to submit to the requirement of the company. So he has two choices, whether you're going to submit or he's going to be fired, or he's going to leave. I mean, there's no any other options. Same thing, God, we have to submit to God and do what he wants. Humility is not when we propose God what needs to happen, but when we agree with his will. It's not like, God, I have this wonderful plan for my life. Just hear me out. Yeah, pride, it can be a huge stumbling block that stands between people and God. If you are trying to prove somebody that you are right, for a prideful person, it's very difficult to even simply say, I'm sorry. If he's prideful and if he was proven that he was right, even when he comes to the point when he understands, oh, that was wrong. But he still will try to find a way somehow to explain why he was, you know, why did he do that. But a humble person will say, I'm sorry, you know, I was wrong. And pride makes us unresponsive to God and to the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. Isaiah 66:2, but this is the one whom I will look, whom I will basically pay attention. He who humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. When the person is contrite, basically who has in the stage of repentance and trembles at my words, he's going to pay attention to you. Until the foundation of your life is that you are better, you're stronger, you look on others from a kind of high standpoint, like I'm better, you cannot have close relationship with God. But God still loves you, and he's going to be doing something about it. Because God loves you, he will deal with the pride. He needs to root out the pride. So there's no any other way for us to be close with God until the pride is cut down at the root. Because remember the Babylon Tower, it had to come down. One day they would say, what did you say? And they could not understand, so the mega construction was over. And the tower of your pride, it also needs to come down. Like, if you don't humble yourself, God may allow some situations in your life that may humble you. Because God wants to be close with you. And there's no any other way to do that. So what would be the result of these kind of more difficult situations that you may face? He will bring you close to him. Then he will make you obedient, and he will make you be responsive to his word. What do you do when kids don't obey? Do you don't know? What do you do? Well, you discipline them, right? And when the discipline is going to put them, you know, right where they need to be, because they have to be submissive. And God does the same thing with us. He disciplines us so we would be that right consistency and ready to respond to what he intends to do. In Hebrews 12:6, it says, the Lord disciplines who? Those who he loves. And he punishes each one that he accepts as the child. So one way you can know that God, that you are his child, is that God punishes you. So he cares for you. It means that He wants to bring, you know, yourself close to Him. You know, there's many people out there, and if I don't, you know, if I'm not their parent or I'm not their counselor or teacher, I mean, I'm not gonna, if I see somebody's doing it with their parents, I'm not gonna come and say, like, I'm not gonna discipline them. They have their own parents to, you know, who can discipline them. And you know what? People who are going through difficult circumstances, I notice when the difficult circumstances kind of comes in your life, then you are more to God. Your spirit is open to God. You are going to be responsive to His Word. And humility comes at the moment when you start losing this, like, physical foundation. When the earthly foundation fails you. You had hoped, maybe you trusted doctors, you trusted maybe the boss that will promote you, or many other circumstances. When these foundations fail you, that moment when you start searching for another foundation, of heavenly foundation, and there, when you find that heavenly foundation, then you can be restored through that. God hears brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18 said that the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saved the crushed in spirit. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifice you desire is broken spirit. You will not reject the broken and repentant heart, O God. Psalm 147:3, He heals brokenhearted and binds their wounds. So He's not just, you know, punishing you, but He is ready to, you know, embrace you. He's ready to bind your wounds. And Isaiah 57:15, part of the verse, I won't really pay attention to it, is, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with Him who is contrite and lowly spirit. God, if you find, where is God? Where does God dwell? God dwells also in Him who is contrite, which means repentant and lowly spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. Now, does everybody needs to go through discipline? Probably yes, because nobody's perfect. But for some people, I know some kids, they are, you know, you said no, don't disagree, maybe we'll try again. But there's kids that you said no and they're good. And there's some that are not going to settle. So for some person, it could be a little scare can do a trick. But for others, it could be almost near-death experience that will do it. And the second option is not the best. Yeah, He will get you where He wants you to be. But I don't think it's the best way to go. Because I want to start humbling myself before something going to happen to me, before God has to do something about it. If you are already humble, if you're obedient, God doesn't have to find a ways how to bring you back, because you're already near Him. If you are reading His Word, if you're desperate for Him, you're already there where you need to be. I have a little video that, just 3-minute clip, there's a testimony of one teenager, and I want to kind of share it with you. Thank you.
Baseball has been part of who I am and what I've done. I played baseball pretty much my whole life. It's my 7th grade year, and it's time for me to try out for the high school baseball team. As I'm coming in, I'm thinking I'm going to play every game, and I'm going to start, and I'm going to make an impact. And then season starts, I'm right on the bench. I'm feeling like a scrub, like I'm not making contribution to anything. I'm thinking to myself, why am I even on the team? I'm not making a difference. Summer ball starts, and I'm feeling good about myself because I'm needed and I'm wanted. I'm in practice one day, and boom, I get hit in the eye. Ends up breaking my nose and my orbital bone. After I break my face, I have to wear a shield. It's embarrassing. I'm humiliated by it. I look out of place on the field. Everyone's like, "What? Why is that kid wearing that shield?" And I hear that, and I'm getting self-conscious about myself. Time to go to Africa. In Africa, my dad's doing a pastor's conference with some local pastors. I'm looking for an adventure, getting out of South Carolina. I'm going to have some fun. And it was on the last day that I started getting sick. I'm sick, I'm thrown up, I'm laying in the back of a van, no air conditioning, not even a pillow, I'm all curled up, uncomfortable. And I'm trying to sleep, I'm having fretful dreams. As I'm laying in the van, sick, feeling just horrible, I'm thinking, God, why are you doing this to me? What have I done? I'm over in Africa. I've flown pretty much across the world to serve you. And the way you repay me is by making me sick. I was just feeling angry. I was bitter at God. Since it was the last day in the pastor's conference, the pastors wanted to have greet us and give us gifts and wish us farewell. And all the pastors there knew I'd been sick. And Pastor Samuel, a pastor of the local church, was going to pray for me. As he was praying, I felt an overwhelming power. I just wanted to break down and cry. Not 5 minutes later, I'm well. I couldn't describe it. I couldn't say I healed myself. I couldn't say I took medicine that healed me. God healed me. He laid his hands over me, and he took my sickness away. And over the past few months, I realized I'd been arrogant, prideful, and I've been self-conscious. And I've learned that I had no dependence on God. I didn't look for God when I was sick. I didn't pray for him to help me. I thought my problems were my coach wasn't playing me. I had a bad injury, and I was sick in Africa. God exposed the real problem was my pride and my arrogance. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I don't need my pride, and I have no right to be arrogant. I'm able to die to myself and live for the Lord.
The only time when the pride is good is when you're boasting about your God. That's this is the time when you can be proud. I'm proud of my God and what he has done for me. And I know that a lot of us have some maybe similar testimonies when we went through and how has God draws us and brought us back closer. And we say, wow, like I was so far away. I was careless. I didn't care much about God. Maybe, you know, I was playing religious, but God draws us. He wants to draw yourself to him. He wants to show him who he is. Because if you have a wall of pride, you cannot get through that. So that pride needs to come down. We have to be open to God to receive him. And then you will be a great and right consistency so that God can make out of you the vessel that will bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your scriptures. Thank you for your love. And you're not just trying to punish us. You don't have delight in punishment, but you delight in the result of the discipline. Because you bring us close to you, and we can be your sons and your daughters, and be part of your family, to be close to you. And we know you don't want us to be concerned, Lord, how much we can lift ourselves up, but how much we can lift others up. It's not about how much I got, how much I have received, how much I have, you know, accomplished, but how much I gave, Lord. And your economy is different a lot from our economy. And thank you so much for doing your work. And at the end, I just want to read the Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in the proper time He may exalt you, casting all anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Amen. I want to ask all of our youth, and we're going to sing our one more song. It's going to be the hymn that we sing, to God be the glory, because He's done so many things for our lives. And if He hasn't yet, you know, come to Him, humble yourself before Him, confess your sins, and He will receive you, and you're going to be part of His great family. Do we want to stand and praise God or what?
Hello.
I hate.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So love He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atoned for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. A perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, the moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great us rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
The Lord praise. He's worthy. And I just wanted to say thank you to all of you, all the young people, all the youth, all the children that have worked very hard for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we want you to know that we love you as a church. And God has called you to be His sons and His daughters, to step out in His power. And Jesus, let me tell you something, Jesus wants to talk to you every single day. He's there with you. And He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to get in the Bible and find out what He says to you and about you. He loves you so much. But He wants to use you as a pipeline of God's blessing. And as Michael shared, if we let go of our pride and let go of all those things, worrying about what other people think and say, Jesus is going to use me. I'm not going to let pride get the best of me. I'm not going to let my circumstances get the best of me. I'm not going to let my rebellion get the best of me. Because you're just like us as adults. We rebel too. We do. But Jesus in our lives, He loves us so much. And so I just want to encourage all of you young people, let go. And you have the power to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. You have the power to minister to people at school, to share the gospel with them, these songs you sung, to share the truths of those. So stay in that. Stay in that. Stay in that blessing. So I want to close in prayer. God, I thank you so much for this time we've had. Thank you for speaking through the youth and children today. God, thank you, Lord, that you have called us to this place of humility so that your glory could shine, so that your cross could be lifted up. And Jesus, we want to honor you and we bless you today. And Lord, I thank you for this time of worship. I thank you, Lord, for all the tithes and the offerings that were put in the boxes in the back. And Lord, we just pray that your blessing would be upon them, that you'd multiply our giving to be used for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Trembling again, involuntary shaking. I just feel like Holy Spirit's wanting me to share this with you again. During my journey this week, I was asking him, how do you discipline us? What does that look like? And Rogan was right in front of me, and he had a hangnail on his toe, and I needed to clip it because, you know, it was going to get worse. So he showed me that, like, something like that. You all know Rogan. I had to squeeze him. I had to hold him really tight to get this. He thought it was going to be the most painful thing ever, and it wasn't. Nothing hurt him at all, but just going through that process is what hurt him. So I want to read Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have it, who have been trained by it. And I looked up seems, and that means to have an opinion of. So we have this opinion that it's painful, but God's word says that it's pleasant and that it yields peaceful fruit.
Amen. Thank you. So, God, bring it on. Give us what we need in our lives. We give God the glory today, and God bless you. And I just want to encourage you, if you're staying for the worship ministry, we'll be meeting back in the fellowship hall first and having lunch. So I encourage you, anybody's welcome to come to that seminar. Have a great day.